Him tonight. Father, we give you thanks, for you are worthy of all praise. We thank you tonight that as you've been with us in the praise, be with us in the proclamation, and as you've been with us in the, oh God, in the worship, be with us in the word. We pray tonight, God, that your name, Lord, will be glorified, that the devil will be horrified, and that your people will be edified tonight because of the presence and the power of the Lord in this place. We give you praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What a joy, what an honor it is for us to be here yet again. We were here last time in the year 2015. And I always marvel this great church, amen. And we are so excited and delighted to be with you tonight. I want to give honor tonight to your angels of this house in the set man of your Apostle Hudro and Pastor Francine Walker. Can we celebrate them? Can we thank God for them? Come on, can we thank God for them? You are a blessed people, amen, who has such great gifts in the body of Christ, and we want to thank God. You are a blessed people, amen, to have such great leaders, to have such a great man and a woman of God that does not only love you, but really love God and the things and the purposes of God. And I want to thank you tonight, Dr. Walker, for not only opening up your heart, but opening up the house for us to release and share the word of the Lord, amen. There are two places in life you cannot miss. The one is heaven and the other one is Cape Town. So when you come down, make sure before you go to heaven, make sure you stop by Cape Town. Amen. Also good to see Sister Sharon Shields. She loves South Africa. And we are really, really glad and excited to be with you tonight. It is a fact that many, many ministries do not open their hearts and their doors on a Wednesday night. Because people just don't show up on a Wednesday night. But I thank God there are a group of people here at Cross Culture that has an irresistible urge for more of God, that they do not allow a midweek service to come in their way, but they love God enough to show up on a Wednesday night. Can you thank God that you've showed up on a Wednesday night in the house of the Lord? And I really mean it. I really mean it. We travel a lot, and on Wednesday night midweek services, people don't attend midweek services anymore. But I'm so, so glad to see what God is doing, that you have a desire, and not only the elderly folks that's here, but I see a lot of young people. Can the young people stand? Can we appreciate? Can we clap for our young? Come on, if you know you, can you stand? All the young people, all the young people. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate them? Can we thank God for them? They could have been anywhere else. They could have been on the volleyball field, on the soccer field, but they are in the house of the Lord. We honor you tonight. God bless you and thank you for being here tonight. Amen. And then last but not least, I want to just honor tonight. She's not the first lady. Amen. I do have a confession to make. She's not my first lady. She's my only lady. Amen. For 28 years, my only one, only Daphne. Can we appreciate her and thank God for her? Without her, I would not have been here tonight, and would not have been possible. We bring greetings from our church back in Cape Town called Victory Kingdom Church, and we want to thank God that we are here as an extension of our ministry to the body of Christ. We thank God tonight yet again, Dr. Walker, for this privilege, for having us here, and for being such a gracious host. Thank you for your kind hospitality and for your generosity, and we really want to honor you. Now, for those who don't know, your church do live stream, amen? And we have watched your cultural service. You had a cultural service, the African Day, and I've tuned into the African Day. And my Lord have mercy, I could see how you were celebrating and dancing with your African outfits. And I said, Lord, I wish I could have been there, but I saw you. Say to your neighbor, he saw you dancing in your African outfit. Yes, singing a big Godo, amen, and the dancing that was going on. This is a fun church. That's what I realized. This is a church that enjoys to have fun and enjoys to have fellowship. And that is what ministry is all about. How many of you know serving God is fun, amen? Serving God is awesome. It's fun. And we want to thank God for this wonderful house. Also want to honor my sister. You blessed us tonight with your glorious gift of ministry. You really, really, really blessed my heart tonight. That as I step into the sanctuary, I could sense how the fragrance of God was just released in the atmosphere. Because there are two things that you can do when you step into the presence of God. We can either be frustrators of the presence, or we can be relators of the presence. When we frustrate the presence of God is when we come into the midst of greatness and don't acknowledge greatness. When we come into the presence of the great I am and do not open up our mouth to express our thanks and our appreciation. When we come into the presence of the Lord and say nothing, we frustrate the presence of God. But when we come into the presence the way you did and open up your mouth and say, God, you're my healer, you're the lifter of the head, you're the lover of my soul, you are my, when we begin to do that, we begin to relate to the presence of God. Say with me, relate to the presence of God. Whenever we relate to the presence of God, there will always be a release. Amen. There will be a release out of our relating to Him. There comes a release from heaven. And I thank God tonight for the fresh worship and the atmosphere of His presence. Tonight, I'm going to try and be like a mini skirt. I'm going to be, first of all, long enough to cover the subject. Amen. But short enough to keep you interested. Is that okay? Praise God. So tonight, I'm going to part. I'm going to pour into you tonight what the Lord has laid upon my heart. Last time when I was here, I ministered on my book then called Functioning Faith in a Malfunctioning World. I don't know how many of you can still remember Functioning Faith in a Malfunctioning World. And tonight I want to share with you from my new book that is just, it's hot off the press. Say to your neighbor, it's hot off the press. Amen. We left Cape Town on Thursday last week, and I received the book literally on Wednesday. So it's hot off the press, an irresistible urge for more. How many of you desire more of God? Come on, how many of you desire more of God? I believe that we are in a time and in a season where there has to be an irresistible urge in order for there to be a surge from heaven. In order for there to be a surge, there has to be an urge for more of Him. We live in a time where people need more. More money, more cars, more home, more wives, more family, more money, more of everything. But we are also living a time where the saints of God have to rise up and the body of Christ have to rise up and say, God, we realize that the stuff is important, but you are more important than the stuff. That we don't worship you based on what we can get from you, but we worship you because we love you. I don't worship God because of the car. I don't worship God because of the house. I don't worship God because of my job. I don't worship God because of everything. I worship God for who He is. And I sing whether I've got money or no money. I praise when I've got a home or no home. I clap when I've got a job or no job. Because my worship unto God, I wish I had some saints that can help me just to say amen. When I worship God for who He is. And I have discovered, beloved, that when I get my worship back, my worship will get my money back. My worship will get my health back. My worship will get my family back. My worship will restore my marriage, whatever it is. When I have an urge for more of Him, God will begin to pour into us like we've never ever seen before. And I believe that the church, the body of Christ, is in that period where God is crying out and He's saying, come up higher, develop an urge for my presence. And may the urge for my presence be irresistible. May not sickness get into the way of loving me. What shall separate me from the love of God? Shall sickness separate me? Shall unemployment separate me? Shall trial separate me? Shall circumstances separate me? Shall issues separate me? What shall separate me from the love of God? Nothing shall separate me. Not even death shall separate me from the love of God. And God is looking for a generation of worshipers that can live lift up their voices unto him and say, God, we need more of you. We need more of your power. We need more of your wisdom. We need more of your strength. We need more of your anointing. Oh God, in this day, if heaven is going to come down to earth, if there's going to be a surge from heaven down to earth, then we need more of God. How many of you know that when we pray the prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy word be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, the easiness of heaven is real. The easiness of heaven is real. As it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. If there's healing in heaven, the easiness of that healing must come to earth. If there's miracles in heaven, that is going to come to earth. If there's favor in heaven, that is going to come to earth. If there's blessings in heaven, that is going to come to earth. The easiness of heaven is real. And I pray tonight that even as I impart unto us tonight, that we will begin to develop. My assignment tonight is not to stimulate you. My assignment tonight is to impregnate you with the word of the Lord that will leave you charged and fire up, that you become unstoppable, that you will say to yourself after tonight that ain't nothing is going to stop me from going for my dream, from going for my destiny. Ain't nothing is going to stop me to be the best that I can be for God. When you leave this place tonight, you're going to be charged up in the spirit realm to begin to do great exploits, begin to build what you could never build before, to begin to write what you could never write before, to begin to rise up in your spirit and say that there's got to be more than this, that God has given me a prophetic assignment, and tonight I believe God is going to activate some people. I believe tonight that God is going to stir you in your spirit and take you to places what you've never seen before and allow you to experience what you've never heard before. And I know that God is saying there's a moment in your life that I'm about to step in and show you another side of me. When we have an urge for more of God, he will show us another side. I spoke to Brother Daniel this morning, and Brother Dan told me, he says, hey Oscar, while I was in the palace, I knew one side of God. But when I got to the lion's den, I saw another side of God. I never knew that God can put a lion on a diet. Daniel says, I thought I knew God, but when I was in my challenge, when I was in my turmoil, and when I was in the lion's den, I saw a side of God that I've never ever seen before. I saw a side of God's provision. I saw a side of God's protection. I saw a side of God's move that I've never ever seen before. And I've stopped by this church to let you know that you're about to see another side of God's power that you've never ever seen before. Another side of God's protection that you've never ever seen before. You're about to see another side of God's anointing that will fill your home, that will fill your children. You're about to see another side of God's supernatural power. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about another side of God. Say with me, there's another side of God. There's another side of God. More often you don't see that side on the mountaintop. You see another side of God when you're down in the valley. Sometimes you don't see another side of God when you things are going well. But when you're in the difficult point of your life, and when you're in the slough of despair, that's the time when you begin to see another side of God. And God is saying, Cross Culture, this church is about to see another side of my favor, another side. I wish I had some people that can agree with me. Another side of my provision that God is saying, Doc, I'm gonna pour into you. It's gonna blow your mind. Not only gonna pinpoint people, but I'm gonna give you so much favor in the city that the favor will be unstoppable. The favor, my God, will be unimaginable. The favor upon this house and everybody that is connected to this house is gonna be a favor that is going to be so big it's going to blow your mind, because I'm about to show another side.
I don't know how many of you are unemployed, but God said there's another side that's coming. I don't know how many of you are sick, but God said there's another side. I don't know how many of you are frustrated with where you are, but God says there's another side that you will experience before you die. You will see a side of me that your eyes have not seen, your ears have, I'm going to preach myself happy tonight, that your ears have not heard, what has not come up in your heart. God says this is not a time to give up, it's not a time to look down, it's a time to look to him and say, I have an urge to see another side of God, and I call it an irresistible urge. Daniel's told me, he said, hey, I saw another side of God. Job said, I saw another side of God. Job saw a side of God that when Job thought it was all over, it was all lost, the Bible says, and Job made a declaration in the book of Job, chapter 13, verse 2. Job says, I know, devil, that I am not inferior to you. Job chapter 13, verse 2. He says, I know that I am not inferior to you. You've taken my family, you've taken my business, you've taken my health, you've taken my honey, you've taken everything, but devil, I want you to know that I am not inferior to you. I'm about to see another side of God. And Job began to focus not based on how he feel, he focused based on what he knew. Do you feel me tonight? Come on, church, it's a Wednesday night. Do you feel me tonight? And Job said, I must have lost everything, but devil, I want you to know that I know what I know. The Bible also says, and Job goes on in Job chapter 19, verse 25. Job says the following. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives. He goes on in Job chapter 42, verse 2. He says, I know that my God can do all things. And Job begin to function based on what you know. This is not a time to get caught up with your feelings. It's not a time to get caught up with what other people say about you. But it's a time to begin to live what you know. What do you know about God? You know that he's a way maker. You know that he's a job creator. You know that he is a healer. You know that he is a lifter of your head. And it's time to begin to live by what you know. Say, neighbor, what do you know? Praise God. I always say to myself, I remind myself always this. There are times in life when I don't know what to do. But when I do not know what to do, at least I know what I'm not going to do. I'm going to try other side. There are times in life when I do not know what to do. But when I do not know what to do, at least I know what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to give up on my dream. I'm not going to declare that I'm a failure. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop praising. I'm not going to stop worshiping God. And I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know where you are tonight. But God says tonight, something in your life, in the prophetic voice that you are hearing tonight, God says in the unseen realm over your life, there's going to be a shift. Say, neighbor, there is a shift. Why? Because there are two important things of us. There's our seen realm and the unseen realm. The greatest part of us is locked up in the unseen realm. And God is saying there's a lot more of in the unseen of the things that I've prepared for you that I want to bring to you. Praise God. Amen. Are you still here, beloved brothers and sisters? Say to your neighbor, everything that he said and he's going to say is just in the book. So don't even try and write. He's going to preach so fast. Just get a book. It will be a blessing to you. Very important tonight. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 25. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 25. There's a beautiful story, and this entire book is written about principles on the story. 2 Kings chapter 5. And literally verse 22, as from 22 onwards, the Bible begin to declare the following. Verse 23 says, and Naaman, 2 Kings 5:23, he says, and Naaman said, please be pleased to accept 2 talents.
And he urged them and tied up 2 talents of silver into 2 bags. Verse 23 says, and Amon said, please be pleased to accept 2 talents. And he urged them, stay with me. He urged. There is an urge that the enemy places in our heart in this season. We have to watch out that we do not allow the urge from the enemy to derail our prophetic destiny. Everybody in this place has a prophetic destiny that God will never produce anything without providing for it first. The nature of God is always first provision before production. That when God produced the fish, the ocean was already in place. When God produced the plant, the soil was already in place. God will always start with provision before he start with production. Meaning now that when God looked at us, God never started with us. God started with the environment first. And when God looked at us, he started with the environment and then he produced the requirement to match the environment. The fish is tailor-made for the ocean. The plant is tailor-made for the soil. The plant cannot function and be productive in the environment of the ocean. And likewise, the fish cannot be productive in the environment of the soil, because God is a God of order and God is a systematic God, that God will always first provide before he produces. He creates the environment so that, and he brings the requirement to match that environment, and the environment does not change. It is the requirement that comes into the environment that changes the nature of the environment. Without the fish cannot be productive in an inaccurate environment. I guess what I'm trying to say, that God tailor makes the environment first, and then he tailor makes us to function in that environment. Are you with me? You, where you are right now, you are designed, you are tailor-made for that environment. That's why some of you are still standing after all the disappointment you've been through, and after all the discouragement you've been through, and after all the abuse you've been through, after that bad environment, you are here tonight, and that environment never destroyed you, because God has designed you for that environment, and you never sat down, but you lift yourself up, and you said, I'm not going to allow this disappointment to destroy me. I'm not going to allow my failures of yesterday to stop me from moving forward. I'm not going to allow my destiny to be prevented, because I am tailor-made for my environment. When you get this revelation that you are tailor-made for where you are right now, no storm will kill you. When you know that you are tailor-made for your struggles, you will know that you will come to your struggles more than a conqueror. Because divine redemption does not mean trouble-free exemption. In this text, this man by the name of Gehazi, he is the servant of Elisha. He's the servant of Elisha. He had everything going for him. He had a purpose. He had a destiny. He had a sense of fulfillment. God created the environment for him, and he lived his dream. But as a result of an inaccurate urge for more, he loses everything at the drop of a hat. What do you do when you had everything going for you and you lose everything at the drop of a hat? What do you do when you had your prophetic destiny worked out? You served the man of God. You did a wonderful job, and one mistake felt like you've canceled out your destiny. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Bible says now in verse 25, the Bible says, and he went and stood before his master Elisha and said to him, where have you been, Gehazi? And he said, your servant went nowhere. I want you to watch now. Naaman has just been healed through the work of Elijah. God working through Elisha powerfully. But when God worked even through Elisha powerfully, his servant had an urge for more. And so this is the deal. Sometimes in the midst of a great anointing, in the midst of miracles, we can miss our blessing in a winning season as a result of an inaccurate urge. And so this man now, Doc, I ask the question, you have seen how God used this mighty man of God, but yet you come before him and you lie to him. We are living in a time where people think nothing of the anointing. We are living in a time where people are careless about serving God, and the urge for more stuff will cause them to violate kingdom principles. The urge for more stuff will cause them to act in a manner that displeases God. The urge for more, my God, will come at a cost. Watch now what happened. Look at the next verse, verse 26. In verse 26 now, the Bible says, but he said to him, did not my heart go when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Was it a time to accept money and garments and olive and orchards and vineyards and sheep and oxen, male servants and female servants? In verse 27, the Bible says now, therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. So he went out from his presence like a leper. I want you to watch now. The mistake of one man causes his entire seed, his entire generation, to be placed the curse of leprosy upon. We have to watch our urge. We have to not in the season be careless about the running after stuff and getting stuff at the cost of displeasing God and the cost of sinful natures. But we have to develop and watch out that we come into alignment with God. I want to ask a question. I can understand, Sharon, that Elisha, that Gehazi alone received leprosy. But how do I explain to my son that your leprosy is as a result of my urge? How do I explain to my son and say, hi, son, you are leprous now. You had nothing to do with it. I am the cause of your failure. What do you do? My brothers and sisters, how many of you know that God is a gracious God? There is another chapter after your pain. All of us have three dimensions. And I'm going to ask if I can get a brother just to put three chairs here for me. Are you still here tonight? And so all of us, can we move this pulpit a bit back, have three dimensions, well, two dimensions. The first dimension, I'm going to illustrate it for you tonight based on the context of an urge for more. And so here we find this man. He had everything going for him. One chair you can sit here, place here. This man had everything, one chair in the middle and the other chair right at the end. This man, Gehazi, had everything going for him. And as a result of one mistake, he feels prophetically derailed. What do you do when you feel prophetically derailed?
There are some people here today that are, know what I'm talking about is the Gehazi experience. But that was not the end of Gehazi. Is there a Gehazi in the house? Is there a Gehazi in the house? Praise God. I'm going to ask that my brother with this beautiful, beautiful shirt, green shirt. Say hello, Gehazi. Gehazi, can I invite you to come and sit in Gehazi? Come on, say hello, Gehazi. You may leave your book and your pen, Gehazi. You're not going to need that, Gehazi. And so Gehazi is now sitting in his setback. Say with me, setback. When Gehazi sit in his setback, Gehazi experienced a right now moment. There are two dimensions of all of us. There is our right now. Say with me, my right now. We are all getting ready for my not yet. Say not yet. God lives in the already done. Are you with me? Come on, say with me, I'm in my right now. Getting ready for my not yet. To walk into what is already done. Say again, I'm in my right now, getting ready for my not yet. My not yet is already. Let's do it again. I'm in my right, getting ready for my not yet is already. One more time. I'm in my right, getting ready for my not yet is already. And so he's sitting in his right now, disappointment, right now, setback, right now, pain, right now, disappointment. He's sitting in his right now, failure. When he sits in his right now, he writes himself off. Because when you had leprosy, you were sitting outside of the gate. When you had leprosy, according to Numbers 5, you had to be outside of the gate and your life and your assignment was closed and everything written off. He's sitting now in 1 Kings or 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. He's sitting at the gate. Four leprous men. The four leprous men is Gehazi and sons. In chapter 5, leprosy came upon Gehazi and his sons. Chapter 7 now, they are sitting outside the gate. When they sit outside the gate, they felt that they had no more assignment. But while Gehazi is sitting in his right, God says, it's already. Your healing is already. Your favor is already. Your miracle is already. Your destiny is already. And so he is in his right now. But while he sits in his right now, God looks at him based on God's first thought. God does not have second thoughts. God does not have third thoughts. God does not have fourth thoughts. God is the God of the first thought. The first thought of dominion he had is the first thought that God looks at him. God does not look at his failure. God looks at his success. God does not look at his setback. God sees his comeback. God does not look at his pain. God sees his healing. God does not look at his disappointment. God sees his destiny, because God is the God of the first thought. What is the first thought of God? Jeremiah 29:11. For I. Say with me, he is an unforgettable God. He knows what he knows, what he knows, what he knows about Gehazi. He knows that Gehazi's condition is not his conclusion. He knows that Gehazi's ailment is not his amen. He knows when he looks at Gehazi, he does not see a leprous. He sees somebody that is being made whole before God started. He says, I want you to know that I am a forgotten. I have not forgotten you. I know that you're in your right now, but I also know you're already done. I know your right now pain, but I also know you're already done healing. I know your right now challenges, but I also know you're not yet breakthrough. He says, I know the thoughts. Say with me, thoughts. The thoughts. God is a God of the first thought. That while he was serving Elisha, he had the thought that everything was going well. He had the thought he's got a prophetic destiny. When he was serving Elisha and he was running in his prophetic assignment, he had all his thoughts together that it's well with me. But when he made his mistake, his thoughts change from setback. His thoughts change, and he must have said to himself, I'm sitting outside the gate. I don't have an assignment. I don't have a purpose. There's nothing good that can happen. And God looks at him and God says, son, you have thoughts. You have thoughts that's all gone. You have thoughts that you've lost everything in life. You have thoughts that your failures have disqualified you. But my son, don't you know that when I look at you, I don't disqualify you for what you are qualified to do. And you are in your right now, and you disqualify yourself from what you are qualified to do. And there's many people in this house tonight, they are disqualifying themselves from what God has qualified you to do. You cannot disqualify yourself because God has given you a purpose. He has given you a plan. And God says, I want you to watch my first thoughts. God says, I don't only have a thought. I don't only have plans. A plan or a thought. God has thoughts. Say with me, plural. One thought is singular. The other version says plans. Plan is singular. But God says, I have thoughts. I have thoughts for you of how I'm bringing you out of your despair, of how I've taken you out of your pain, and how I've taken you out of your, I've got thoughts, and my thoughts have not changed. My thoughts are dominion. My thoughts are authority. My thoughts are your power. My thoughts are healing. My thoughts are supernatural breakthrough. My thoughts are deliverance. And I have not changed my thoughts about you because you've made a mistake. I'm the God of the first thought. While he changed his thoughts, God says, oh, no, I have not changed. Here it is. God is calling on us right now. While you are sitting in your right now, disappointment, your right now lack, your right now challenges, God is calling you to migrate to your not yet. Because your not yet is already done. God is saying over everybody's life, there is a not yet version of you. You are in your right now, but your not yet is bigger than your right now. Your not yet is bigger than your right now. Because what your right now eyes have not seen is the not yet preparation. Your not yet blessing is bigger than your right now blessing. Your not yet healing is bigger than your right now. Here it is. Say with me, perspective. Say perspective again. The etymology of perspective means to look through. God is calling on us tonight to, while we are in our right now, to look through the eyes of his first thought. That in your right now, you have the perspective that your healing is already. In your right now, you have a perspective that your promotion is already. In your right now, you have a perspective that you've got a bright future that's already. In your right now, you have a perspective that there's an abundance of provision that's already. Say to your neighbor, get the right perspective in your right now. And so Gehazi sit in his right now with an inaccurate perspective. Why? Because in his right now, he got caught up with his pain. In his right now, he got caught up with his challenges. In his right now, he got caught up with his disappointment. And he allowed the disappointment to overwhelm him. His disappointment to overwhelm him with the possibility that my right now is not the end of me. I'm about to step into my not yet that is bigger than his right now. And God is calling us tonight, my brothers and sisters, to have the perspective of the first thought. Are you with me tonight? Say to your neighbor, in your right now, see that your miracle is already done. Come on, say in your right now, see that your provision is already done. Come on, in your right now, see that your favor is already done. In your right now, see that your increase is already done. In your right now, see that it's already done. The challenge with the body of Christ, Pastor Francine, is we get so caught up with our right now that we lose perspective of our not yet. We lose perspective of how God sees us. We lose perspective of what God planned for us. And when you lose perspective, you lose your power. When you lose perspective, you lose your passion. When you lose perspective, you lose your grace to move forward. And it's impossible to move forward in your right now if you've got yesterday's perspective. So while he's sitting his right now, he feels sorry for himself and his sons. Say to your neighbor, there's another chapter. The Bible says now in the book, as a matter of fact, while we are Jeremiah 29:11, I've never ever heard it before. It's from HeavenNet, a complete exegesis on Jeremiah 29. You have never heard it. I promise you, you've never heard it before. Amen. Say to you've never heard it before. Amen. A complete exegesis on Jeremiah 29:11. I'm just going to just read it to you, and then I will continue. Are you still here? Say to your neighbor, he's come a long way. He's gone a long way. And so I'm not going to watch at the clock tonight. Here's Jeremiah 29. God is an unforgettable God who has an unusual proposition with an unmatched plan that contains an unapologetic prognosis combined with an unashamedly proclamation about his unstoppable provision and his uncompromising protection that provides unlimited prosperity that becomes an unending pattern. Jeremiah 29. I said, neighbor, just get the book. It's all in there. Here it is. And so watch us now. In 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1, while Gehazi and his sons are sitting in there right now, disqualify themselves. What they do not realize that their mistakes are not big enough for God to cancel out the assignment. What they don't realize is that his mistake is not big enough for God to cancel his assignment. Say to your neighbor, watch now, say watch now. While he sits at the gate, Elisha makes a prophetic announcement. That's why you cannot underestimate the power of this word tonight, because tonight there's a prophetic announcement that God is ushering you from your right now to your not yet for what is already done. Elisha now makes an announcement in the city. He says, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow by this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley. And so there's extended famine in the city. There's an extended famine in Samaria. Elisha now makes a prophetic announcement to say, hey, God is about to break the famine. The people in the city could not believe it. But look now at verse 3. In verse 3 now, 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 3, the Bible now says, and there were 4 men sitting at the gate. 4 men sitting at the gate. When they 4 lepers sitting at the gate, guess who's sitting at the gate? Gehazi and sons. They are sitting at the gate, not still realizing that in their pain, they still have an assignment. In their derailment, they still have an assignment. In their failure, they still have an us. I don't know where you are tonight and who I'm speaking to tonight, but God allow me to stop at this church to say that it does not matter what you've done, it does not matter where you've been, it does not matter how many mistakes you've made, but you still have an assignment that God has not canceled his assignment over your life. Your assignment still stands even in the midst of your right now disappointment. And so he says, now these 4 men sitting at the gate, entering at the gate, they said to one another, here it is. Whenever there is a prophetic announcement, there has to be a prophetic deployment. When God starts deploying, Doc, God is not deploying the people that's in the city. God now deploys those who were left out and looked over. God is now deploying the very people that could not even help themselves, because my God, how can you tell me, Elisha, that tomorrow this time God is going to bring food, and there were sitting some leprous men outside the city gate who are waiting for scraps to come over the wall. They cannot even feed themselves. How are they going to feed us? When God deploys, God deploys the left out and the looked over. I don't care how many mistakes you've made, you are still deployable. The first thing that happens, Sharon, is their speech change. There is now a prophetic awakening. Yesterday, Gehazi said, let's wait. Maybe there's food coming over the wall. Yesterday they said, let's just sit here and die. Nothing is going to happen. But when there's a prophetic announcement, because a prophetic announcement covers a radius. The prophetic announcement were made in the city, but the prophetic announcement affected those who were outside of the city. And as you are sitting here tonight, I want you to know that this prophetic announcement is affecting your children at home, is affecting your husband at home, is affecting whoever is at home and whoever is connecting to you. This prophetic announcement will cause an awakening. And the first thing that changed, Sharon, is their speech. Yesterday they said, let's wait. Huh? The announcement in the atmosphere. God is stirring this urge. The urge for more. The urge not to be stagnant. The urge to get out of my right now to my not yet. God begin to stir that urge. And the first thing they say is, why sit we here? They began to question. Let me break it down. Why am I still depressed? Why am I still so mad? Why am I still so messed up? Why am I still crying all night? Because weeping is only supposed to be for a night. Why am I like this? They began to ask questions. Oh, say neighbor, ask the right questions. because you're not supposed to be like that. You're not supposed to be in bondage. You're not supposed to be sick. You're not supposed to deal with discouragement. You're not supposed to camp in your despair. You're not supposed to stay in the valley. You're supposed to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And here they ask a question. Hey, they question the status quo. Why sit we here? Look at the next verse now. The next verse, the Bible says, and while they're sitting at the gate, the Bible says, praise God. They ask them, they begin to talk. If we sit at the famine, we shall die. Da, 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 da. He says, okay, let's just get up from this place. Look at verse 5 now. Say, hello, Gehazi. Come on, say, hello, Gehazi. Say, Gehazi, you're in your right now and getting ready for your not yet. The first thing that happened is, the Bible says, and they arose. Ah. The word arose means they disconnected themselves from their current reality. They disconnected themselves from the status quo and said, we're not supposed to cry like this. We're not supposed to live in poverty like this. We're not supposed to be mad like this. Disconnect themselves. Watch now. The Bible says, and they arose at what time? They arose at 12. How many of you know the last thing you want to do if you have not eaten for a long time? And you've got leprosy in your body, and you are thin and skinny, the last thing you want to do is to go walk at night. Okay. Ask your neighbor, why did they arose at twilight? Ask your neighbor, ask the preacher. Well, since you asked me, get the book. Here it is, watch now. God will always cause you to get up at a time that's inconvenient to you. God will never move at a convenient time for when you think it's convenient. Why? Because daytime is a convenient time. It's easy for them to walk in the day so that they can clearly see their way clear. But how many of you know when you serve God, it's not about seeing your way clear. It's about believing your way clear. And God calls them to move at an inconvenient time. And maybe some of you are experiencing inconvenience right now. You better say, that's God. You're experiencing inconvenience, that's God. Things are rough, that's God. Things are tough right now. God says, I'm lifting you up tonight because I'm preparing you in twilight. But here it is. Go to verse 7. The Bible says, and they arose at twilight. And now the Bible says that there's the enemy now. He says, wherefore they arose at, what time did they arose at? Oh, Lord have mercy. Watch us now. They arose at twilight, Gehazi. You arose at twilight, Gehazi. At the same time when Gehazi arose, the enemy fled at twilight. Ask your neighbor, what part of twilight don't you understand? Here it is. Gehazian sons did not even get to their not yet. When they just disconnected themselves and made up their minds that this thing is not going to kill us. We are not staying in this mess anymore. We are not allowing this abuse anymore. We're getting up. When they started walking, God started working. Give your first step. That's it. When they started walking, God started what? Come on, when they started walking, God started. God never waited for them to get to the enemy camp to work. God started working immediately. They got up at twilight. The enemy fled at twilight. Ask your neighbor, why?
I'll say again, neighbor, since you don't know, just ask the preacher. Well, since you asked me, I'm not going to say get the book, I'm going to tell you. Here it is. Twilight was the time when the food had to be prepared. They were hungry. Twilight was a time to eat. The reason why they did not go during the day is because the food was not ready yet. The reason why they did not get up in the morning is because the enemy never cooked the food complete. And God wanted them to stumble on a complete meal. Say, neighbor, when God blesses you, He leaves nothing out. He gives you every detail. That's why you cannot afford to be depressed. That's why you cannot afford to be mad. That's why you cannot afford to be sad. Because God has prepared your food. I can't hear you. God has prepared your food. You just have to keep on walking, and God will keep on working. Watch the text. This is now what messed up my mind, Pastor Francine. I can understand that the enemy leave the tent. I can understand the enemy run away and the enemy run away from the tent. Pastor Francine, I can understand that the enemy leave their asses. I can understand that the enemy leave the food. But Lord have mercy. How do you leave your horses behind? How do you leave your horses behind? After all, your horse is the fastest thing that will get you out of there. But when God get behind your enemy, God will confuse your enemy and bless you that they came walking and they left riding. So watch this now. While they were walking, the Bible says that the sound sounded like a chariot. It sounded like the sound of the Hittites and the Egyptians combined. Which means God compressed two sounds that the enemy recognized the sound. When God begins to work, God will use a familiar sound to perform a peculiar miracle. And so as they were walking, they were thin steps. Walk with me. God took their steps, amplified the sound into their future. When we walk and worship and praise and live in righteousness, God will take our step, amplify it into our future. There's some amplification into your future. That's why it says the Lord shall reward them that diligently seek you. Because God amplify your step into the future. So much that they sounded like an army. Ask your neighbor, how can four thin men sound like an army? How can four? Ask your neighbor again, ask the preacher. Well, since you ask me, here it is. Four men. How many feet were moving? Come on, how many legs were moving? Four men, how many men were legs were moving? It is a number of new beginnings. When God get behind your weakness, He put His new beginning. And four men sound like a mighty army because God put His beginning, and God was there before the beginning began. That the beginning did not begin when God began. God began the beginning. That when the beginning began, God was there before the beginning began. And they began to march, four men. He put His new, God is saying, tonight I'm putting my beginning behind you. That you will function not even like somebody who had a weakness. That you will function like somebody who never made mistakes. I'm giving you power. I'm enduring you. So that I can bring you into your not yet. Take your seat. And so when they got into the not yet, the Bible says they got to the camp. And there were food.
they got the food. And there were rings, they got the rings. And there were clothes, they got everything. And they were met for the sake of time. Here it is. As much as you move from there right now to there not yet, they were fed. They were fed. Say with me, they were fed. When God look at already done, God says, I don't just want to feed you. I want to see you whole. Go now to 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. They are being fed. To make a long story short, obviously, you know, they went to go tell the city and they saved. Watch this now. They saved. While we get the text on the screen, 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. They were sitting here, thought to themselves, Sharon, we've got no more assignment. But yet when they thought they had no assignment, God gave us such a big assignment to save an entire city. The very people that disqualified them were the people that they had to save. And the Bible says now, and while they were in there right now, they were fed, but not whole, but not healed. And the Bible says, and it came to pass at the 7 years' end, the woman returned of the land of Philistine. So she went forth into the king's house after the land, and the king talked with Gehazi. Come, Gehazi. So the king talked with Gehazi. Watch this now. When you had leprosy, you could not come into the king's presence. When you had leprosy, you could not come into contact with people. When you had leprosy, he lost his association. But when God took him from his right now into his not yet, God says, I don't want to feed you. I want to make you whole. Here it is. He got whole in his assignment and not his appointment. Because some of us have got so many appointments in our diary, and sometimes none of that appointments are your assignment. And as long as you get caught up with your assignment, your appointments, you will be frustrated. When you walk in your assignment, you will be whole. The Bible says, and the king talked with Gehazi. This, here it is. He talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. God restored his association. God says, I'm about to restore your association. I'm about to bring wholeness into you. Here it is. Here it is. And I'm ending with this. I wonder if Gehazi never made a mistake, if Gehazi never had leprosy, would he and his sons have saved the city? Could it be that his leprosy was a setup? Could it be that your failure was a setup? Could it be that your disappointment was a setup? Because God wants to do greater things through your life. God is saying tonight, don't cancel out what God has approved. Don't disqualify, because Gehazi was restored, and nowhere do you hear about Gehazi's leprosy anymore. There is another chapter after your pain. There is another chapter after your disappointment. I want to say to you today that our mistakes, no matter how grievous they may be or how challenging and big it might be, it is not big enough to cancel out God's prophetic assignment. Even if you have derailed from your path, God is able to bring you back on track, because God's grace far exceeds your failures in life. An irresistible urge for more of God
will bring healing, restoration in our life, so that we can become transformation, agents of transformation in our communities. God is calling you tonight to get up of your right now and to begin to have the right perspective, that in your right now you can be made whole. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you tonight. God bless you tonight. I speak wholeness over your life. I speak wellness over your family. I speak you into your prophetic assignment, into your prophetic. I call you out of your appointments, and I'm pushing you into your assignment to do what God has called you to do. Your failure was a setup so that God can use you to save a nation. You are supposed to save nations. You are supposed to save communities, and God will use your mistakes so that you can walk in your wholeness. Lift up your hands tonight, just where you are in this presence of the Lord. I'm going to ask my wife tonight to come and just release a prayer over your life tonight as you're getting out of your right now and stepping into your prophetic destiny.
Hallelujah. Abba Father, as we reach out to you tonight, we are honored to have heard this word tonight, oh God. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ that you will seal this word over our lives, and that our spirits will, this word will continue to resonate in our spirit, oh God. Lord, you know who we are. You know where we are, and you know what we need. But what we do need, Lord, is to have an irresistible urge for more of you, because only you can restore, only you can renew, only you can revive, and only you can rejuvenate us, oh God. Lord, back to your first thought that you have for us tonight, oh God. I pray that you will touch us, that you will heal us, that you will just sanctify and deliver us and set us free, oh God. I thank you, Lord, that as we have heard this word, Lord, that our spirits were alert, Lord, that we will not just be hearers of this word, but we will be doers of this word, Lord. We will activate this word into our lives, oh God. We will tonight, Lord, know that you spoke clearly, and all we need to do is to align ourselves with your word and with your first thought, oh God. So Lord, as we reach out to you, my God, I know, Lord, that you are here. And as we are yearning, Lord, let your spirit, Lord, will come over us and restore us, Lord, just as you have done it for Gehazi. You restored him, oh God. His association with the king, his association with the man of God. Restore us tonight, God, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. We will continue, Lord, to give you praise. We will continue to give you glory, and we will continue to live lives that honor you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.
Amen. That's encouraging. Thank you. Thank you. Powerful word. And I hope you really heard that. It's encouraging. We were just having a conversation before we came earlier today about some things similar to this, but related to the very subject that was spoken on tonight. Just to show you how the Lord is speaking this to us, is that we don't look at things as they are, but God's first word, what God has spoken, what God said to us the first time. He doesn't take his word back, but he's determined. And to take us, whatever we have to go through to get there, God is determined to get us to where we're supposed to be. So we want to encourage you to get the book. To get the book. The books will be out. In fact, Apostle Hoffmeister will be at front to sign any of the books that you may receive as well. But we just want to bless the Lord for his word. And if there's any here, I see familiar faces, but I still won't take for granted everybody here has given their hearts and lives to the Lord. But if you're here and you had not surrendered your heart, your life to the Lord, then by all means, we want you to take advantage of the opportunity the Lord has afforded you, because He has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And you are significant. You're important to Him. Whatever mistakes you might have made in life, God had a reason. There's a reason for you, for your being born. And He wants that reason, He wants that purpose and reason to be fulfilled. But you never know it apart from Him. The only way to know why you're here, the only reason to know what you're here for, is once you come to that place of knowing the one that made you. So if you're here and you've not given your heart, your life to the Lord, then by all means, we invite you to come to Jesus now. Just whoever you are, just slip your hand up, and we want to pray with you, and we want to share with you so that you can know that you know that you know that you're right with God. Anybody here, you want to surrender to the Lord, you want to give your heart, your life to Him. Amen. Amen. We praise God for your being here, and we just trust that what you heard, the impartation, will take root within your heart and your lives and will make that be that difference inside of you. So we want to prepare our hearts now to give unto the Lord as we honor Him through giving, preparing our tithe, our offerings. But we also want to bless our speaker tonight. I mean, this was a powerful word. Brother, I'm telling you, that blessed me. That really blessed me, I'm going to tell you. And let's be generous in our giving. Let's honor the man of God as he's come to impart to us. And Father, we speak even blessings over him and ministry. His wife, Daphne, as they come to minister to us. And we pray that even what we've received, Lord, that it will return even to his congregation. And even while he's here in the U.S., that the people that he ministered to would be as blessed as we are, that they too, Lord, will be as encouraged as we've been encouraged through the message that he has to deliver. So speak to the hearts of your people as we respond in faith to you with our tithe, with our offering, and even with our special offering as we honor this vessel, this man of God you sent to us. We give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen.